In this edition of Spotlight, I'm visiting the southeast Moravian town of Zlín, a city famous for its shoemaking and film industries, as well as for its rich heritage of folk culture and traditional music. Although the first historical reference to Zlín dates back to 1322, it was never really more than a provincial backwater until the arrival of one man changed the town forever.
Nebojme se budoucna. Polovina lidí na světě chodí bosa. A sotva 5% obyvatelstva.
Legendary Czech entrepreneur Tomáš Bača famously declaring that there was no need to be afraid of the future. This visionary businessman set up his shoemaking business in the town of Zlín in the 1890s and revolutionized the footwear industry with the introduction of mass production techniques inspired by Henry Ford. The success of his business meant that the town grew rapidly in the early 20th century as people flocked from neighboring regions to staff Batch's expanding shoe factory. Jana Machalova works at the Zlín Shoe Museum, which displays much of the footwear produced in the town at that time.
Before Tomáš Baťa, the town had some 3,000 people, and that was it. So if he didn't come, I think that Zlín would stay just a provincial town with no history at all.
Tomáš Baťa's profound influence on Zlín stemmed from the fact that he sought to create a total environment for his workers. As a result, he built houses, sports centres and entertainment complexes for his employees. These functionalist buildings are what have shaped the town's current appearance, making it a veritable treasure trove of 20th century architecture. Most of the buildings were designed by legendary Czech architects František Gahura and Vladimír Karfík, with the latter designing Zlín's famous 16-story skyscraper, which at the time was the tallest building in Central Europe. Besides its 20th century architecture and shoemaking, Zlín is also famous for its filmmaking tradition. More than 2,000 films have been made here over the last 7 decades, including many children's films and Czech animation classics. The town also hosts one of the world's largest film festivals dedicated to children's movies. Jana Machalova says that the filmmaking industry in Zlín also owes much to the legacy of Tomáš Baťa.
The studio started in 1930s, and first of all it made advertisements for Baťa company, advertisements for shoes, for tires and other things too, and then it also made some ordinary films and some series for children, and I think that now it is most famous for children's films. The most famous people connected with these studios are Hermína Tydlová and Karel Zeman. Karel Zeman made a film called Cesta do pravěku, which is about a group of boys going back to prehistoric times and meeting all the funny creatures like dinosaurs and so on. And I think that it was the predecessor of Jurassic Park.
Although films are still being made in Zlín, the town's shoemaking industry, established by Bacha, has all but disappeared. Bacha's shoe factory, which once employed thousands of people in Zlín, found itself unable to cope with international competition once the market here was relaxed after 1989, and it closed in the early 1990s. The city endured a few tough years thereafter as it struggled to come to terms with mass unemployment caused by the factory's closure. Thankfully, a number of new businesses in various fields, such as rubber and leather processing, have been cropping up to fill the void. Local businessman Boris Kovanda says that this has helped the city recover some of the entrepreneurial spirit inspired by the example of Tomáš Baťa.
Industry in Zlín now, I think, is very diversified. There's many, many small companies or middle companies for very many styles of industry. People try to continue in this, and they do it.
The main reason why the Zlín shoe factory failed to be competitive after the fall of communism was because it had become inefficient and unproductive after being nationalised following the communist coup in 1948. The communists also did their best to expunge the town's capitalist past by renaming Zlín Gottfaldov after the then party leader Clement Gottwald in 1949. Although Zlín got its name back shortly after the Velvet Revolution, Boris Kovanda says that this name change is something that still rankles with the town's inhabitants to this day.
I don't know why they renamed this town, but probably it was because they wanted to finish with this capitalist system in this town. People here in Zlín now, I think they are very sensitive for the name Gottwaldov, because it's a little bit insulting name, and you can hear word Gottwaldov especially on ice hockey or football matches when the rival fans shout Gottwaldov instead of Zlín's shit or something like that.
These rival ice hockey fans Boris mentions are probably jealous of the fact that Zlín currently has one of the best ice hockey teams in the Czech Republic, which regularly finishes in the top places in the country's national league, and actually won the competition outright 2 years ago. Besides its ice hockey team, Zlín has produced a number of other well-known sports stars, including the legendary long-distance runner and 4 times Olympic gold medalist Emil Zatopek. Former world decathlon champion Tomáš Dvořák also hails from the town. One other local luminary worth mentioning is the documentary maker and travel writer Miroslav Sigmund, whose travel documentaries kept Czechs in touch with the outside world during the communist era. Besides traditionally being a hub of industry, Zlín is also known as a centre of Moravian culture. Many age-old folk customs and musical traditions are thriving in this area and are kept alive by the town's enthusiastic folk clubs. Boris Kovanda says the vibrant folk culture in Zlín has a lot to do with its unique geographical position, as well as the impact of the ubiquitous Tomáš Bača.
Zlín lies in, I think, epicenter of 3 culture areas. It's Valachia, Slovatsko and Hana. And that's why people here keep many folk traditions. Also, when Bača founded his company, many people from villages came to Zlín to work here, and they brought many folk traditions to here. And all these typical folk traditions survive here in Zlín. Many small children keep it in folk groups, and we all hope here that we will keep these traditions for next generations.
Interestingly, this mix of people from different regions, which occurred in Zlín during the Bača years, not only enriched the town's cultural heritage, it also had an impact on the type of Czech spoken here. Marcus Milton is an American translator of Czech who lives in the area.
The Czech that you speak here is probably the cleanest dialect of Czech. You know, it's closer to book Czech than any other dialect in the Czech Republic. And that's because of Tomáš Bača, that he had brought all these workers from the different regions and just in order so that, you know, they could communicate with each other better, that, you know, they all kind of made a standard, you know, they used the standard Czech dialect. Vrbecké děvčata, pěkné líčka máte. Vrbecké děvčata, čím se umýváte? My se umýváme. Finally, before I go, I should warn you that if you plan on visiting Zlín, you will almost certainly be invited by some locals to join them in a shot of Slivovica, a potent spirit which is synonymous with this part of Moravia. You can buy Slivovica in any shop in the Czech Republic, but, as Jana Machalova says, most people in Zlín prefer to make their own version of this liquor, which many credit with having magical powers.
I think that's very, very typical. In English, I think it's called plum brandy, and especially in the villages, people plant plum trees, and then they make Slivovica out of these plums. Even my father does it. And the drink is very, very popular because some people claim that it's a cure, that you can heal everything with Slivovica.
Do you think that's true?
Well, a friend of mine suffered from toothache and he took a sip of Slivovica and was okay.
Laughter ending that edition of Spotlight, which was written and produced by Colleen O'Connor, a visit to the town of Slane.